A friend sent me a cartoon a few days ago by email. It shows a man and a woman going door to door. They've stopped at a house and woken up a man who comes to the door in his bathrobe. How many times has this happened to you? I was trying to add it up. It's happened to me a number of times. You're in the middle of something or half asleep, and people knock on your door to tell you something about Jesus or the end of the world or a related matter. Don't they see all the church bumper stickers on my car? I'm good. Funny, when I tell them sometimes, well, actually, I'm an Episcopal priest, they look at me like, you're really in trouble. But this cartoon has a twist. Those going door to door say to the man, hello, we're Darwin's Witnesses. May we have 5 minutes of your time to share with you the good news about evolution? I wish this would happen. I think that conversation would do so much more and get so much more attention than the sort of message most religious people who go door to door convey. And if anyone is wondering, and maybe those who might listen to this sermon online, we in the Episcopal Church like science. We like it. We do not see a conflict between science and faith. We can say yes to God and yes to evolution with ease. To my mind, evolution is as much of a miracle as anything else. Which brings me to my miracle, our miracle, my focus for today, the feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle story to be told in all four Gospels. That's how important it is. And if we were to go door to door, which, by the way, we don't do, typically, not much anyway in the Episcopal Church, but if we were, if we had a program for that and we went door to door with a message about our faith, we would do well to tell this story. This story of life and community with Christ, which enables us to be about compassion for others and the whole of our world. This story is told on the day. It's in the context. We didn't hear this. It's actually right before what we heard today. Jesus learns that John the Baptist has died. His disciples have come to him and said, John the Baptist has died and we've buried him. This is what causes Jesus to go off to be alone, to process the grief, to pray. He wants to be alone, but people want to be with him. The crowds follow. When given the opportunity to describe or express our faith, we would do well to share what comes next and also to know what came right before what we heard in the gospel today. Because this story is, in a sense, a small mustard seed, a very small seed of who we would become as spiritual people, people of faith, people of the church, the body of Christ, now in the world. It's also a little look at who God is for us, the small seed of who we would become and who we are becoming and who God is. It's all contained in this account of the feeding of the 5,000. This is a story of inreach and of outreach. It is a story of prayer and action. After withdrawing to a boat to be by himself, Jesus goes ashore, he sees the crowd, and he has compassion for them. Compassion. The word compassion is used sparingly in the Gospels, used to describe the sort of love Jesus has for the people. It's also in Matthew's Gospel we hear that Jesus has compassion when he looks on the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has compassion in this scene and heals the sick among the people in Matthew's account. Compassion, that quality of love and caring that connects us with others to the point of feeling their pain and desiring to end or heal the pain. A dictionary definition says that compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of another's distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Compassion is what God has for us. God knew our pain, knows our pain. Compassion is what led God to reach out and seek humanity again and again through the prophets and the sages, through the incarnation, Christ, Jesus, God with us. Compassion, this sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, together with a desire to alleviate it, is what led Jesus on the path that took him to the cross. Compassion is the primary lesson Jesus is teaching his followers and friends then and now in this account of the feeding of the 5,000, plus, we heard, right, plus the women and the children. Yeah, sort of an afterthought, but they were there, so it's probably more like the feeding of the 12,000. Jesus has compassion. Before we get to the feeding, he cures the sick among them, we hear. And this is a story of healing in another way. Healing for the weary disciples who have what might be considered compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue, that's what we get when we see on TV and all around us this overwhelming suffering and feel there's little we can do. Or it might be a day when something difficult or terrible has happened to us or someone we know personally, and we can't imagine dealing with one more thing. The disciples had buried John the Baptist. Not only were they mourning his death, they might have been wondering what this death meant. A harbinger, perhaps, of more such trouble to come? Did they feel they could not handle one more thing? Crowds are all around, and it's getting late. Jesus, they say, send the people away so that they can get food for themselves. Into this scene of overwhelming need, the disciples and the disciples' own sense that they could not do one more thing that day, the God of surprises invites them into an unexpected experience of grace. An experience of grace that would give hope in the face of overwhelming odds, not just then, but for years to come, and for us now still. A story that would give hope as it was told again and again over the years. They do not need to go away, Jesus says. You give them something to eat. To which he gets the reply, we have nothing. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they say they have nothing. How easy it is to discount what we have and call it nothing. But they did have some food, and they had Jesus, God, with them. So Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, looks up to heaven, prays, acknowledging that this miracle of food in this deserted place is what will happen is not like that time in his desert moment when the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread. But rather, Jesus is acting in concert, he's showing by looking up to heaven, with the coming reign of God, and is enabling the reign of God to break into the world there in that moment of compassion fatigue and overwhelming need. Jesus takes the bread and the fish, blesses and breaks the bread, gives it to the disciples, and the disciples gave the food to the crowd. Sounds familiar. All ate and were satisfied, and there was food left over. So what is the miracle that occurred? Where there seemed to be nothing, there was abundance. Through the presence of Jesus and his close friends, there was enough for all the people. What would be the greater miracle? This is something that's been discussed at length, but it's worth considering again. That food appeared because Jesus created it out of nothing. Would that be the greater miracle, that he created it truly out of nothing? Or that the people, who most likely would have been carrying food with them for this long walk into a deserted place, shared what they had. What a miracle that the people felt enough hope and peace and strength by being together with Christ that they could share what they had, moving from a mindset of scarcity, we have nothing, to one of abundance. On this day of our monthly ingathering of food for our food pantry visitors, how wonderful it is that we have this story. It's just a coincidence. You know, this lectionary is set, and we have this ingathering the first Sunday of every month. We have this story, this scene, that captures so much about our life and faith as Christians, and we're able to do something with our bodies physically to enter into it today. We call this Sunday here at Holy Comforter Good Samaritan Sunday, which of course is another story in the New Testament about compassion fatigue and there being one person, the outcast, the one as being seen as being not in right relationship with God, who's able to reach out and help, the Good Samaritan, thereby being an example of faith in action and showing us what the reign of God is all about. Later in the service, out of our sense of abundance and compassion for others, we will see food appear in a miraculous way as we bring it to the altar to share with others. This is a huge part of how we, members and friends of Holy Comforter, share the message of our faith. And you've heard me say it before, you've heard it many times, but once again, St. Francis said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words." But our actions show so much more. We preach the gospel every time we act on our compassion, united with the God of all compassion, who strengthens us to act in such a way, even when we may feel overwhelmed by the need. This story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a story of prayer and action. Jesus prayed, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends. And then his friends gave it to the people, and perhaps the people, seeing the efforts of a few and the generosity, also gave to each other. We are here today to give ourselves to God and to God's purposes in this world, to become more and more the inbreaking of the reign of God in our world, this world that so needs our compassion. Joan Chittister writes in her book, The Breath of the Soul, Reflections on Prayer, "The purpose of prayer is not prayer." I love that. The purpose of prayer is not prayer. The purpose of prayer is to come to love God, and for me that always includes loving our neighbors, love God as much as possible, with all the insights into the nature and presence of God this world allows, that we're able to have. The whole of this service is prayer, and through prayer we come to know God and ourselves as blessed. We know ourselves as being blessed, empowered friends of God. And as we heard in Romans last week, God the Spirit is praying in us right now, using your imagination. Just open it to God. What does the Spirit want to say to you right now in this moment? Maybe thank you for the compassionate person you are in reaching out to others. We are fed and strengthened through this prayer, and then strengthened through our encounter with Christ as we encounter Christ here today in a number of ways. We know Christ through each other, through the community, because we are the body of Christ in the world. We know Christ in acts of compassion, those we do and those we see others do. We know and are transformed by all our encounters with Christ, including the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ feeds and strengthens us, and then we are able to be Christ in the world for others. Brian C. Taylor, I've mentioned him before, is the author of Becoming Human, Core Teachings of Jesus. He's also written a book entitled Becoming Christ, Transformation Through Contemplation. The foreword of this book is by Richard Rohr, by the way. Some of us have been talking about him recently. In the section of the book on Holy Communion, Taylor emphasizes the union aspect of communion, co-union, communion, writing, "We offer ourselves as we walk up to the altar, opening our heart, ready to give back to God what is God's, our lives. Christ's life is then offered to us, blessed, broken, and distributed to his people. The offering of our lives meets the offering of Christ's life for us at the altar. In this mutual self-giving, we are one. We are one. Our lives in Christ are strengthened. United with Christ, strengthened by Christ, we go into the world with compassion in our hearts for all who hunger and for all who are in need of any kind, be it physical, emotional, or spiritual. As we receive from God, from Christ, from the Spirit, we are able to give. Thanks be to God. Amen."